TFC has only had a decade drought, but they haven't won a playoff game in their franchise history. Now they have a home playoff game, first time Wednesday against Philadelphia. Joining us to chat about that is John Molinaro, Sportsnet's chief soccer analyst. John, thanks very much for joining us as always. And, well, let's start. Your story on sportsnet.ca says it all. The headline, one and out will not cancel, won't cancel out a positive season for TFC. John, talk to us about what TFC has already accomplished this season, no matter what happens on Wednesday night.
Well, I mean, just in terms of the regular season, it's been the best one they've ever had. A club record, 53 points. They finished third overall in the East. They've never finished that high. They finished fifth overall in MLS. They've never finished that high. They won the Canadian Club Championship by beating Vancouver in the final back in June, and they qualified for the CONCACAF Champions League. And I think, so those are all, you know, obviously very positive. And I think, you know, the main thing is just when you look at it from last year, they're much more sound and balanced and stable side. When you think about, you know, the team last year conceding 56 goals, which was the worst defensive record in the league, they totally turned it around this season by tactically bringing in some key players as well. And they only conceded 39 times, which is the second best defensive record in MLS. So, you know, I think there's a lot of positives and a lot of things that they've achieved thus far in the regular season.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And now let's talk about what's still to achieve, and that's moving on in the playoffs. On paper, where games are not played but often discussed and analyzed, one would think they would be heavy favorites against Philadelphia. They won in Philadelphia 3-1. The other game was 1-1 draw. They finished ahead of them in the standings. This is not a veteran playoff experienced team like the LA Galaxy that would have an advantage from that standpoint. So let's talk about what TFC needs to do what everyone expects them to do, is win the game on Wednesday night. And I agree with everything you said, John. The regular season was terrific, but we all know people weigh those playoff games a lot more. What kind of a game do you expect on Wednesday to start with?
Well, I mean, I think one of the, I won't call it disturbing, but one of the, you know, bad trends, I guess, in recent games is Toronto seems to, they fall behind, right? Like in the past few games, they've conceded the first goal, and then they've always had to fight back to claim points. You know, Sunday was the perfect example against Chicago. They went down 1-0, and then, you know, they did eventually win the game. So, you know, I think they have to address that. I think they really have to come out aggressive like they did against Chicago, but marry that to, you know, scoring goals and finishing their chances and really, you know, setting the tone early, taking an early lead, building on it, really put the pressure under Philadelphia, go out in front and force the Union to chase them. I think if Philly scores a goal and that forces Toronto to try and claw their way back in the game, I think that just works to Philadelphia's advantage. You know, for me, Toronto really has to come out assertively, really put away whatever scoring chances they can get, and then set the tone and really turn the screw on the Union early on.
Another advantage I think the team has, and it's not even a thing because it really is basically the team is pretty healthy, John, heading into the playoffs, and that is something that has not been the case this season. And maybe some of the inconsistency we've seen from this team is that it's been so rarely that they've been able to have their full side available. And once you do have it, instead of that instantaneous gelling, it takes a little bit more time. But when you look at the talent that's on the roster and you see the healthiness, starting with Sebastian Giovinco, of course, who missed some time this season, that's also got to bode well, not just for Wednesday, but beyond, if they do win Wednesday?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is the healthiest they've been since the start of the regular season. They have been really been hurt by injuries this year. You know, at times they've, you know, key starters such as Michael Bradley, Jozy Altidore, Sebastian Giovinco, Will Johnson, Clint Irwin have all missed significant time because of injury. Those are five starters and five key players. And yet they sort of weathered the storm and then they finished a very respectable third place and probably should have finished, you know, first or second in the East. So I think it's a great credit to their resilience. And I think it bodes well that all those players are now healthy. going into the playoffs. We should really see what TFC is made of. And, you know, it's when you look at the other side, I mean, Philadelphia, Morrissey, their star designated player is out, and they've got some other injury concerns. So this matches up nicely for what is, I think, a very healthy TFC side, the healthiest it's been since the start of the regular season.
John Molinaro with us, Sportsnet's chief soccer analyst. I'm Roger Lajoie, Sportsnet tonight on the Sportsnet Radio Network tonight, and glad you're along with us here. And, of course, at Sportsnet 590, The Fan in Toronto. Much has been made about lineups and switching to a 3-5-2 setup and how Coach Vanney structures the team heading into the game against Philadelphia. John, what do you expect from that? Do we? I assume there will be no roster surprises, lineup additions, but what kind of form does this team take in this, well, crucial game, win or go home?
I think he's going to go with the 3-5-2 formation that he used on Sunday. He seems to go back between that and the 4-4-2, you know, diamond shaped midfield at times. But I think a 3-5-2 against a team like Philadelphia works because they don't offer. I don't think they offer their dangerous on the flanks. So I think that's something they can really exploit by playing, you know, Justin Morrow and Stephen Bateshore out wide and really have them kind of bombing forward in attack and playing balls into the center of the box. So I just, and, you know, as I said, it's what they played against Chicago on Sunday and in some other recent games. So I suspect that he's going to go with that. I don't think he's going to make any sort of major, barring any sort of injuries, of course, but I don't think he's going to make any lineup changes. I think he pretty much knows what his starting 11 is, and all the guys are healthy, especially the three designated players. So he's going to put, there's no question, he's going to put his best 11 on the field on Wednesday night.
To draw an analogy to baseball, John, there is, you know, conjecture of how, you know, much of a disadvantage it is to not get a bye. And that was the big topic of discussion after the 3-2 win over Chicago. The lost opportunities in the previous 4 weeks, as we've previously discussed, hurt TFC, and they could not get the bye of the top two teams. So the two New York teams do. One would assume, well, yeah, it's an advantage. It's a week of rest. It's, well, everybody else plays. It gives you the opportunity of the second home game and the home and home, the advantage that entails. But we've seen in previous years, it hasn't stopped teams from, you know, going as a first-round playoff team going deep, as we've seen in baseball, where a wild-card team could go ahead. Maybe just talk about that in the history of the MLS, because if you look at the stats and numbers alone, there really doesn't appear to be that much of a disadvantage having to play a game on Wednesday night as opposed to the two New York teams who sit and wait to see what happens.
Well, it's an interesting point because, of course, the Portland Timbers, who won the MLS Cup last year, they were the sixth most placed team in the Western Conference, so they had to play that first-round game on the road. And then, of course, they went on to win it all. And I believe the Houston Dynamo, if I'm remembering correctly, I think they won MLS Cup 1 year as playing the first-round playoff game. So, yeah, I mean, it can certainly happen. It's not impossible. But that being said, I mean, I don't think there's any question that Toronto FC looks at the fact that they didn't get the bye as you know, they squandered an opportunity because, you know, in one game, anything can happen. You know, a referee can make a bad call and TFC gets sent down to 10 men or, you know, luck, a ball bounces the wrong way and anything can happen, right? It's a game of small margins anyway. But that gets magnified and amplified in a one-game playoff. In a two-game series, there's much more room for error, right? You won't nearly get punished as much. So, and it provides that extra safety net. So I don't think there's any question that they would much rather be playing, have that first round bye, and much rather be playing in the conference semifinals. But, you know, as I pointed out, other teams have won MLS Cup without getting that first-round bye. So it's certainly possible for Toronto to duplicate that.
John Molinaro with us from Sportsnet. So, John, we take a step and look at the rest of the league playoffs. Montreal losing to New England. They now start the playoffs on the road against D.C., another intriguing match. And, of course, the two New York teams, as we've already alluded to, waiting. But when you look at the tightness of the standings, and as we just discussed, like, yeah, all right, there might be a bit of an advantage for the first two top teams. But, you know, first-round playoff teams, wild cards, if we want to call them wild cards, to use the baseball terminology, have won before. How do you assess this? Is there a clear-cut favorite this year? Like, you know, is it – and the two New Yorks, I mean, you know, were virtually identical all year until, you know, New York City FC slipped back 3 points back of the Red Bulls. Are the Red Bulls a favorite? Like, maybe just talk about the league in general and what you expect in this playoff.
Yeah, I do think that the Red Bulls are the favorite in the Eastern Conference. I think they've been, you know, very consistent all year. They're a very tough team. Wright Phillips finished as the league's top scorer. He's probably going to win the MVP award. And they've got other, I think, excellent players. They sort of remind me in Toronto in that they just have balance and depth at pretty much at every position. So I really like the way they played, and I think, you know, the Eastern Conference is going to go through the New York Red Bulls. There's no doubt about it. On the other side, FC Dallas in the Western Conference was the best team in Major League Soccer this year, and I think both they and the Colorado Rapids, who had the best defensive record in MLS, and they feature former U.S. national team goalkeeper. They're going to be a very, very, very tough team to beat. So, yeah, I think it's either going to be Colorado or Dallas out of the West. But New York, for me, is going to be the team. The New York Red Bulls are going to be the team to beat in the Eastern Conference, no doubt about it.
And not to jinx anybody, John, we got about a minute here. But, I mean, what are we expecting crowd-wise? Because this is one thing, you know, I mean, a team's attendance is usually based on season ticket holders and advanced ticket sales and group sales and all the thing goes in, works in the schedule. When you play a playoff game, you don't know if you're going to be home. You don't know if it's a bye week. You only have 2 days to sell tickets. You don't know the opponent. It's Philadelphia. It's hardly like, you know, like Montreal that would have brought fans maybe in for Montreal. Is it realistic to expect they sell the place out, or is it going to be substantially less than that? Any guess, and what are you hearing from that standpoint?
I don't think it's going to be a sellout, pretty much for every reason you just said. I mean, they only found out on Sunday night, you know, who the opponent was going to be and confirmed that they were going to play on Wednesday. That's a very short turnaround. Philadelphia, a good team, but it's not a marquee matchup. If this was, you know, the Montreal Impact, then I suspect tickets would be going a lot brisker in terms of sales. Club president Bill Manning told us today they're at about 18 or 19,000. I suspect they'll probably have 22 or 23, maybe even 24,000. The sellout is 30, so I don't think it'll be sold out, but it'll be in that sort of early 20, that low sort of 20,000. But I anticipate the atmosphere will be phenomenal just because, you know, this is a home playoff game that has been a very long time in the making for Toronto FC fans.